Well, it's lovely to see you all this morning, and thank you. Thanks for coming along. I know that you're expecting me to preach to you today, and I promise I will, but it is going to be a bit of a two-way street, particularly at the start, so I will be asking for some help. Before I get into that, I'm just going to ask for God's help, okay? Jesus, thank you for the gift of time, of this time when we can receive encouragement from you. We ask, Lord, open our hearts and our ears so that we listen to you, and would you give us your power to change to become more like you? Amen. Okay, so first question, do you love God? Yes, excellent. Okay, now this is not a trick question, so I'm not looking for a particular answer. Okay, I really want to know, if you love God, why? Why do you love God? Because he first loved us. Great. I second that one. And another first loved us. Excellent. Anyone else? And another.
Because he loves me even though I keep messing up.
Great. Excellent. Really good answers. And they are all great reasons to love God. And, you know, we have such a big God, don't we? I think when we are asked to put it into words, it can be difficult sometimes. It's almost inexpressible because Jesus gives us a fullness of life it's just so vast. But today I'd like to spend a few minutes just discovering why one of the writers of the Bible loved God. So we're going to be reading most of Psalm 116 to find out why it is that the writer, who was probably David, loved God. Now I'm going to read from the New Living Translation because it really captures the energy of the psalm, I think. The same message comes out of all the translations, of course. So I'm just going to start at the beginning of Psalm 116. It says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Why does David love the Lord? He loves the Lord because the Lord listens to him. He hears his calls for mercy. When he asks, God responds. How does that sit with you? How do you kind of feel about that? Do you think that's okay? The reason I ask is that sometimes we can get a bit worked up about not having a slot machine God, you know, put the prayers in, get the answers out. And I totally agree. That is not like the whole of a good relationship. But I think sometimes we can get so sophisticated about things that we forget that God really loves us and wants us to ask for good things. He wants us to ask for good things. He wants to bless us in response. So before we move on to reading a bit more of Psalm 116, I've got a question. Another question for everyone. So, is your life sorted? Do you have everything that you need? Is your relationship with Jesus top notch? And is everybody you love okay with no needs at all? Fewer hands up this time. Okay, right. In that case, I'd like you to pick something that you'd like to ask God for. Okay, it doesn't have to be so-called spiritual. Just pick something you believe that God thinks is good and that right now you're perhaps almost afraid to ask for, or you don't quite have faith for one reason or another. So I'll just say that again. Choose something that you think that you believe God thinks is good and that right now you're almost afraid to ask for, or you don't have faith that God will give you. I'll just give you a moment to think of that. Okay, David knew, we're told in the psalm, beyond all doubt that he was listened to. How did he know? Let's read on. It says, death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. He can see impending doom and actual threat to his life. Then I called out on the name of the Lord, please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is, how good he is, so merciful this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death and he saved me. I wonder how many Christians around the world today are clinging on to words like that. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. He has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. I believed in you, so I said, I am deeply troubled, Lord. In my anxiety, I cried out to you, these people are all liars. So here we have it. David was facing death itself. He called out to God, and God came up with the goods. God saved him. Now, I know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking even, but I know what I'm thinking, which is that is pretty amazing. It is really very impressive, isn't it? David said that the Lord listened to him when his life was in danger, and then his life was saved. And so he knew that God was in charge. Now, Peter was just saying, felt God was saying to us today that God can do the impossible. God did the impossible with David. Now, okay, surely we all want to know at this point, how did David pray? Because they must have been some pretty impressive prayers, I'm reckoning, right? He must have thought the theology out nicely. He must have got himself nicely well-centered, nice and peaceful and calm. He must have carefully thought through all of God's promises. He just got himself into a nice place of resting peacefully in God and then asked for everything with really nice, impressive, well-worded prayers. Yeah? No. David is actually really clear on this. He says, the Lord protects those of childlike faith. Your translation might say the Lord protects the simple, or even the Lord protects the unwary. The point is this, David says the Lord protected him not because he was all sorted, but precisely because he was not sorted. David said the Lord protected him because he was not organized, calm, and holding a solid plan. The Lord protected him because he had a simple, childlike faith. Let's look into the evidence of this a bit more, shall we? One of the most common commands in the Bible is do not worry or do not be afraid. But I don't get the sense from this psalm that David managed to follow either of those commands. In fact, we get this almost contradictory statement. David said, I believed in you, and so I said, I am deeply troubled, Lord. Sorry, David, you just said that you believed in God, that you trusted the creator of the universe, and you're also saying you are deeply troubled. What's going on, David? Sort yourself out, mate. Also, David, what are you saying that in your anxiety, that's not do not worry, is it? You cried out, these people are all liars. You really shouldn't call someone a liar, you know. David, pull yourself together. You need to straighten yourself out and then start talking to God. But no. You see, this is the magnificence of the closeness and reality of our gracious God, our loving Father, and our King Jesus, our Holy Spirit, who fills us precisely because we don't have what it takes. And the magnificence of it all is that we don't sort ourselves out. It's that God sorts us out. David said that God protects those of childlike faith. Oh, the kids have run off, so I can't ask them. Imagine a child asking their parent for a banana. I'm reckoning, and in fact, when I asked a child over at the Allen, they said, this is how they would ask, can I have a banana? Right? No, bananas are very good for you. They're full of potassium and other helpful nutrients. No, you've always told me to have a banana. Just, can I have a banana? simple. God knows you way better than I know my children. He has known you since your body was a little fetus inside your mother's womb. He loves you and notices you more than anyone else does. He wants to bless you. Now, it's all very well talking about childlike faith, but how do you feel about asking for help? I know that there are many people in Grace Church who are very capable people. We are able to sort a lot out and default to fixing things ourselves. I come from a family with doctors in, and I know that they can get so used to being relied upon to provide help that they default to that mode rather than receiving it. Now, I'm not medical, but if you ask Helen, she'll tell you I am just the same. I like to just sort stuff out myself, and in some situations that is great. But in my relationship with God, it's inappropriate and it's highly toxic. Self-reliance is the enemy of childlike dependence, and I need to fight it. Perhaps you do too. So I'm going to ask you to think back now to earlier on. Do you remember I asked you to think of something that you're almost afraid to ask for, or you have little faith that God will give you, or whoever it's about? So without any airs or graces, right now, ask God, either out loud or in your heart, ask for it. Don't screw up faith saying, yeah, it's going to work. Just ask God right now. I don't know about you, but right now I'm feeling kind of hopeful, maybe a bit nervous. It might be that you're expecting to be disappointed. Maybe you've asked for something many times before and you feel like you're speaking into the air. So before I finish, I'd like to address the issue of feeling like prayers are going unanswered. And there are two strands I want to touch on in this. The first is that Jesus teaches us about persisting in prayer and says it's absolutely fine to keep on going on to God about something. In fact, Jesus encourages it. He tells us to nag God. And I don't think David asked just once for his life to be saved. I am fairly sure David asked a lot. In fact, he talks about asking again and again. Now, that's not the only way we deal with seemingly unanswered prayer. There are things I've prayed about where nothing really changes. God seemingly does nothing, and eventually, after maybe weeks or months of asking, I ask God, why won't you fix this? Don't I deserve better than this? Instead of changing the situation, he said to me, go on, you love those people in that situation because I first loved you, and just remember everything you've got is a gift. And suitably chastened, I suppose, by those words, I can ask for God's Spirit to fill me with love for those people and also be genuinely thankful. And then the that kind of resolves it, right? I stop praying about it because the situation hasn't changed. But because the situation hasn't changed, a few months later, who knew that sense of entitlement, that sense of, don't I deserve better than this, comes back. So I start praying for it to change again. Maybe I start listening a bit sooner this time. God tells me again, love those people because I first loved you. Again, asking for God's empowering spirit, resolving it. So I stop praying. And a few months later, the disgruntlement's back again. Start praying again. I start listening a bit sooner again. God tells me again, love them. And one day, I'm hoping I'm going to learn to not stop praying. And I think that might be the point. Sometimes God doesn't change situations, but he speaks to us about them instead. And if you'd like more on that, I suggest reading 2 Corinthians 12, which I don't have time to go into now. So to recap, let's be willing to depend on God like a child does their parent. Together, let's persist in prayer. and keep our ears open. He's going to bless us one way or another. I was just going to finish, but I'd just like to give a couple of testimonies. This week, someone in our community group was up at the hospital for an operation about a condition that's been going on and off for, well, on really, for years. Just about to have the operation. And they did a test just to make sure that the problem was still there. And after years of praying, they decided not to do the operation because that sickness had gone in the name of Jesus. And the doctors had no explanation for it. Isn't that amazing? That's absolutely fine, Peter. If you didn't catch that on the tape, that was Peter just saying, Amen, really loudly. And the other is that just a few months ago, I went freelance, and I knew when I was doing that I would be needing to depend on God every month, because I was always used to being in a salary job. I know lots of people go down this journey a lot sooner than I do, but it's new for me. So I got to within a few days of the end of last month, when the money needed to come out of the business account and into our personal account for paying the mortgage, and money came through sort of 2 days, really. An invoice got paid 2 days before the end of the month. That was a good answer to prayer. And then I was praying again on Friday, because we're hitting a similar situation. It's quite common at the start of a new business, I think. And I had no invoices outstanding, and knew that in a few weeks we're going to be hitting a similar situation. So I was praying and I just asked God, and I worried, I'll be honest, I worried, a bit like David. And then last night, after I'd shared the situation with Helen, and we talked about it in the morning, I got an email through from one of my clients saying, I know you haven't finished the work yet, but could you invoice us anyway? Who does that? And so I'm learning to depend on God's provision on a close basis. A real answer to prayer. I'm going to finish with a few more lines from David as he responds to the saving of his life. So let's pray. What can I offer the Lord for what he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for doing what I could never do and dying in my place on the cross. And as we share communion now, would you renew my dependence on you and grow my expectations that you will continue to love me as a good, good father. Amen. Just before I hand over to Peter, I'm going to make the most of being up here, I think, unless I've left it in here, and tell you about September. September 2021 is a month of prayer and fasting across the churches in Truro. There is a leaflet that will be coming out in electronic form this week. It kicks off on Wednesday. If you're able to get to All Saints Hightown on Wednesday at 7:30, be wonderful. There is an online option to join if you can't because you're unable to get out for whatever reason. An evening of worship and prayer. There are then things to pray for 4 weeks during September, and an opportunity to join together in reading through the book of Nehemiah day by day, or part of the book of Nehemiah, day by day through September. Can I encourage you to join in? Let's pray for God's best for Truro, for those who we love, and for Jesus to be famous in this city and around. Wonderful. Thank you.